Today we continue our summer theme of how we learn to be brave. We just heard our guest speaker, Marwan, chant from the Quran. He's chanted, obviously, in Arabic. And most of us, I don't think, understood much of what he had to say. But here I'm granted the honor to give you a translation of what he said, and I think you will all be surprised how familiar it is. Let us open our ears, minds, imaginations, hearts, and souls across time, space, and faith traditions to hear what the Holy One needs to say to each of us today. Remember when the angels proclaimed, "O Mary, Allah gives you a good news, a word from him. His name will be the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary. Honored in this world and the hereafter, and he will be one of those closest and nearest to Allah. He will speak to people in his infancy and in his adulthood and will be one of the righteous." Mary wondered, "My Lord, how can I have a child when no man has ever touched me?" An angel replied, "So will it be. Allah creates what he wills. When he decrees a matter, he simply tells it, be, and it is. And Allah will teach him writing and wisdom, the Torah and the gospel, and make him a messenger to the children of Israel to proclaim, 'I have come to you with a sign from your Lord. I will make you a bird from clay. Breathe into it, and it will become a real bird by Allah's will. I will heal the blind and the leper and raise the dead to life by Allah's will. And I will prophesize what you eat and store in your houses. Surely, this is a sign for you if you truly believe. And I will confirm the Torah revealed before me and legalize some of what has been forbidden to you. I have come to you with a sign from your Lord, so be mindful of Allah and obey me. Surely God is my Lord and your Lord, so worship him. This is the straight path." And from the Gospel of Luke, this will sound even more familiar. We recall how Mary sang about her pregnancy. Mary said, "With all my heart, I will glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I rejoice in God my Savior. God has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me the highly favored one, because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is God's name. God shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next who honors the Lord as God. God has shown strength with their arm. God has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. God has pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. God has come to aid his servant Israel, remembering God's mercy, just as God promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and to Abraham's descendants forever."
I was aware that over the past couple of years, we've been in a lot of contact with our Jewish friends, particularly Temple Shir Tikva, and we haven't heard as lately from our Muslim friends. And so I wanted to be sure this next year we were hearing from them. And so I reached out to our former Greater Boston Interfaith Organization liaison, Alaa El-Damati. And I said, "Alaa, we've heard from Rana and Faiza, and they've come and talked to us. Could you come and talk to us?" And she said, "Sure." And then after a bunch of texts and several weeks went by, she said, "You really need to talk to my husband. He'll talk really well to you. He does this all the time." So I didn't know Marwan that well, but I've gotten to know him in the last few weeks. And he actually came 2 weeks ago to hear Kowinia. And don't tell him I said this, but I think he was a little intimidated by what was happening. And then we started talking about his thoughts, and he has something beautiful prepared for you, at least as beautiful as his singing, more so, and I know your heart is going to be touched. How many of you were here 2 years ago when we hosted the iftar dinner down here for the Brookline Muslim Friends? We had about 200 people down here. That is the meal of breaking the fast at the end of the day in the holy month of Ramadan, which is kind of a parallel to our season of Lent. It's a time of deepening in. Different people take the fasting seriously, and it was quite moving to me. It was after many years of conversations that we hosted that. And then also some of our Muslim friends went out there and prayed at the appointed hour in the evening. It's moving to me just to talk about and to think about how we use this room to host people in the community. So Marwan's going to get up here and be brave right in front of us. So let's welcome him up here just as we have. Thank you, Marwan, for coming.
Let me fire this up, but I kind of have it all in my head now. Oh, interesting. It's not working.
And we may need you just a little louder, Marwan.
Yes, my apologies. Well, I guess I'm going to get it out of memory. Good thing I rehearsed a couple of times. So, good morning, United Parish. I'm Marwan. I greet you with the traditional greeting of Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, which means may the peace and blessings of God fall upon you. And it is the greeting that we believe the people in heaven will be greeted with as they enter heaven. May we be among the righteous and among those who go into heaven. So I'm Egyptian, Marwan Musa, born and raised, 43 years old. But Brookline has been my home since 2018. If you are wondering about the accent or lack of, you can thank Cartoon Network. I watched too many cartoons growing up, and also I've been the beneficiary of a lot of language schools since my tender years as a toddler. So, but the more important part of me, my family. So I am a husband, a father, a community organizer when I have some time, a researcher and a doctor. I am the very fortunate man who got married to my wife, Ala Iddamati. Her name, Ala, literally means blessings, and that she is. To every soul she touches, especially me, I get to be the fortunate one. Second in line is my 12-year-old, Noor, my firstborn. Her name literally means light, and she is the light of my life. Third in line is Yusuf, my 9-year-old, my sunny son, a rascal of a son, if I may add. My fourth in line is Maryam, or Mimi, 4 years old, the joy of our household. As you can imagine, we miss our family in Egypt so much so that I think the Lord actually had pity on us and, you know what, said, I'll send you two more. So in our household, we have two of our nephews, two Muhammads. So each one gets their own nickname so we don't get into mix-ups. So Mimo, our 22-year-old, a senior at UMass, on his way to try to change the world using AI. I'm sure he'll be interested in the talk coming up Wednesday. And then our 16-year-old, Dido, I'm our high schooler and star soccer player. If you ever get invited, oh, and how can I forget our cats? Don't even worry about it. So they will come through, our orange cat, Medina, hailing all the way from Texas, and Lotus, that rascal as well, our Egyptian cat, who we rescued and at the tender age of 12 weeks, had a passport. Half of the Egyptians don't have passport. He got a passport, and he traveled transatlantic and is now with us in our Brookline home. Together, this is my household. And should you grace us with your presence at our dinner table, our very noisy, bustling dinner table, the food of that Ala will prepare I promise, will drown away the noisiness, the sibling bickering, and the very loud laughter. So now that you know me, a little bit about, just to give some context. I am what you might call an observant Muslim, a practicing Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. I fast Ramadan, I give the prescribed charity, et cetera, et cetera. But if I were to, I see Islam and its teachings as my framework for my life. But if I were to summarize my relationship with my religion, it is striving to answer God's proclamation to his angels when he said, and I will say it in Arabic and then translate it, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Oh, my angels, I shall create a deputy on this earth. And I strive every day to live that. It is, in essence, exactly what is preached in these walls, to make God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And that is how I envision and I put my intentions every day as I walk through this life. So some of the pictures. So this is us in Medina, the city of the Prophet, peace be upon him, just enjoying this is the wee hours of sunrise and fajr. The next set of images is Pastor Kent, we can move on. Yeah, is myself with Yusuf preparing for Umrah, another form of worship where we circumambulate the Kaaba, and we go between the mountains, replicating what Hajar did in Mecca. But I don't have to go too far to have this connection. 2 miles from here is the ISBCC, where if you would ring me up any time in the wee hours of Saturday or Sunday, you would know that I am in my solitude there after our congregational prayer in Fajr, and either in the mosque or outside in the park that is sipping my cup of coffee and enjoying the sunrise. And if you check my phone, there's a couple of pictures like those just from yesterday. So, It is wonderful. So I invite you, I extend this invitation to join me in the ISBCC for a tour. We have a very nice coffee shop there, Somali Tea, excellent, I may add. So I extend that invitation. Please catch me after or at any time. I would love to show you around. So I think that now you have a good sense of kind of who I am. I'd like to make one disclaimer, and then I'll get into bravery. If I will fall in my conversations with you onto my faith or my religion, please understand that this is coming from a place of me being genuine, trying to color myself in the most genuine way and present my way or invoke the meanings that really guide my heart. It is not in any way to impress upon you my tradition or my religion, nor is it in any way trying to solicit indirectly any sort of agreement or anything like that. That is not my intent. So with that out of the way, I will try to talk a little bit about bravery. In the few moments before Pastor Kent kicks me off the pulpit. As you heard, I was volunteered into classical tradition. And to me, if somebody calls me to talk to people of the Lord in a holy place, I'll answer that call. God has blessed me with the gift of speech, and that I enjoy a lot. But as the saying goes, practice what you preach. For preachers, you really have to preach what you practice. And bravery is something that I struggle with. It was, when I knew the topic, it was a real stomper. I felt very unqualified, very weak, and I wouldn't be genuine. And it is through conversations with Pastor Kent that I really have had this struggle, you know, think about it, and I would like to share that with you today. The only way I can think about it is in this day and age, when I think about bravery, I'm always asking myself about the repercussions, the retribution, the harm that I can put my family in. These thoughts of darkness are also closed in within a wall of shame, of the moments of silence, that I stood there doing nothing when I should have done something. But as I share with you, and as the first rays of light breach through the darkest part of the night, courage finds its way through these dark thoughts. Until my courage, at a few points, is in full glory. As God's Son in the blue sky, unrivaled. Yet as the days go and the miseries come again and the challenges, some of those doubts creep back and I find that light to be sealed. So I invite you to walk with me into that struggle. I invite you to share with me your struggles. All right, so my story starts with Pastor Kent. I jumped over a very important part. All right, so I'm sorry. I have to go back, retract just for 1 second. I have to retract and go back 1 second. So I was talking about the ISBCC, a house of God, but this is also a house of God. And this is home territory for me. I was very touched with your prayer for the groups that come through these walls. United Parish, blessed are you for opening your doors to the town of Brookline. For I have been the beneficiary of these. Pastor Kent in the last 2 weeks said there were 35 groups. I am a member of two of those groups. Indeed, I was a witness to this beating heart of this town between these walls. Right here, sitting up front here, watching my child, Yusuf, up on that stage, morph from his shy shell into Lion-O as part of Art Barn, the community theater school that is here, as well as upstairs in the parlor as I was cleaning up the kitchenette and wondering, am I ever going to be invited in this institution again because of the mess that we created and the racket that our kids, like, they unleashed hell up there. But thankfully, we found Violet every time with her welcoming smile at the doorway, ushering us in. And we have invited time after time and kiln-dilled so many relationships as the Brookline Muslim families and friends, that have carried us through many difficult ways. So blessed are you. Blessings unto you. May you continue to strive the past to be the beating heart of this town with your walls, even if your lives do not interact with ours, but know that they impact this town deeply, and they are part of the fabric and the essence of this town. All right. So, this was a quick recap, so, alrighty. So, back to bravery. My story starts with this young child, another Yusuf, blonde, curly-haired. October 19th, I read his mother's post, and she says, it's been 12 days since the war started. Yusuf has been starving all day, and he was pleading with me that he wants to eat, but I have nothing. As I close my door behind me, I tell him, Mama's going to be right back. I'm just going to walk across the street, get you some tomatoes for maqliya, a fried vegetable Palestinian staple. She walks across, and as she is asking to be spared a tomato or two, her question is shocked violently by an explosion, and she is thrown off of her feet. She recalls, as I gathered myself, I could only say one thing, Yusuf, Yusuf. And she rushed to her house, only to find that the door that she closed to protect her son was no longer there. Her house was no longer there. As time went on, ambulances started to show up. Her cries wallowed. Has anybody seen Yusuf? Has anybody seen my son? She jumps into the ambulance, going to the hospital, trying to see if he made it there. As she arrives to the hospital, she recognizes that this is the hospital where her husband is the trauma surgeon on service. They lock eyes. She utters Yusuf. He immediately understands, and he rushes to inspect the victims that are arriving. A few minutes pass, and she hears him across the hall. Let me be. Sibuni. She rushes frantically towards him and says, that can't be him. He's blonde. He's curly hair. That's not him. But his embrace lets go as he tried to protect his wife from seeing their disfigured son. The sorrows prevailed. This is Yusuf. Pastor, can we see the second one? The second slide, please. This is his father. He's a doctor, so am I. This is my Yusuf, blonde and curly haired. This could have been me. This could have been my son. Later that day, my toddler, Maryam, the four-year-old, is skipping out of kitchen, yet after another dinner battle, won against her formidable parents, half vegetables, half eaten, and a treat in her hand. But the dinner table starts to silence. My wife and I have been texting all day about Gaza. So we sit down and reality sets. I mentioned this time it's different. She mentions, or she replies, what are we going to do about it? It's different because of many things. The instigating factor was unheard of. It was harrowing. We had witnessed assaults on Gaza 2008, 2012, 2014, 17. It was a few airstrikes, a few buildings, and that was it. Electricity and water weren't cut. Food wasn't barred. Bombs over schools and hospitals was unheard of. Also, I had changed. I became a father. I knew what it means to have a son, to fear for their life, let alone losing it. And also, I was of means now. I was no longer that overworked trainee trying to get by. I was a physician now. I was an attending physician. I had means. I had power. We talked about it. What are we going to do different this time? We talked about the risk to my job, being labeled a terrorist, our immigration status, being separated, being deported, her work in the community, in the interfaith community. But it really boiled down to one thing, the physical safety of our children. Everything else was fair game. Our first calling as a family was in the schools, of all places. When our superintendent got emailed, so much so that a school committee meeting was called about whether or not this topic or should be addressed in schools, or if kids are concerned about this or concerned for their lives, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. And the calls came out to the Muslim families. Should we write a letter? What should we do? We live right across from Town Hall. And at 5 p.m. that night, I finished my shift in the hospital, and I took care of the kids. And Ale, my wife, and Noor went down to that school meeting. And of all the families that were there, they were the only Muslim Arab family. And they made the case that their voices should be heard, that this is hurtful for them. Were we fearing being booed? Were other families on the WhatsApp group saying, it's going to be a little bit scary, I don't know who's going to be there? It was. Were we scared? We were scared. Very scared. But somehow, the light broke through, and we were able to get there. The next call came for a town meeting, where we were trying to get a resolution to call for a ceasefire, the end of the war. And my turn came up, where Alette stayed with the kids at home, and I went there until my time came up. And I recalled the statistics. And I recalled Yusuf's story and how that moves me. Today marks the 674th day of this war. One child dead per hour. A classroom of children per day. Imagine if Newton and Brookline both lost their children, all of their children collectively, to a natural disaster, to a disease, let alone a war that they had no part of. So much so that when I went into the registries, not only did I find children that had the same name of my kids, but they had the same last name, and they had the same age. And I wondered, did they look like my children? Did these girls look like my girls, like that Yusuf resembled the other one? I continue to call my senators daily, my congressmen. I continue to show up, but I am very fearful. I am fearful because I know that day's going to come when my colleagues in work who share other opinions get a hold of me. When I put those I've been entrusted to protect my family in harm's way. But between these moments of darkness, of doubt and fear, I remind myself, what did the Prophet do? I ask myself the question that I've always been looking to as a guiding star. What would prophets do? An answer, and you shall receive, for the prophets are our exemplars. They have been trialed in every tribulation of life to set a path for us to tread to salvation. In the early days of Islam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, preached Islam, he was protected by privilege, by wealth, by his family. But his followers were not. They were dragged into the scorching desert, stripped, flogged, then put on the blazing sand, pinned by boulders. What did he do? Did he say, I have to be protected, I am the messenger, I have a cause? Of course not. He trekked through that desert, followed his followers, pleaded with their captives, arranged the wealthy followers to pay for the ransom from the captives, from the slavery that they were in. Prayed for them when he can, gave them rations and food. And this is what I try to leave you with, my dear United Parishers. A calling to courage, despite the fear, a calling for everyday courage, for bravery, for resilient bravery, where at moments you may feel unable to do it, but you just have to keep at it. You have to train. It's not an instinct. That is a definition that I borrow from an article that was just published. But it is not an instinct. It is a muscle where at times of fear and doubt, one has to align their values with their actions. It is not the moment that you think would hit the headline, but it is what keeps our own integrity and our own legacy. United Perishers, may you always have a guiding star, as I do, in asking myself that question. May the light of your courage find its way through the darkness of your fears and your doubts. Blessed you are, and courage you shall be. Thank you.